WSHU delivers trusted news reporting that keeps you accurately informed and uplifting music that delights and surprises you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Brad Dancer, WSHU General Manager. Your financial support gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut will spend $5 million on flood mitigation in Stratford. Nassau Republicans select their candidate for New York 4. A controversial water sale is back before Connecticut regulators. Plus, it's the latest from WSHU's Long Story Short. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The state of Connecticut will spend more than $5 million on flood mitigation in Stratford. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports rainy days like today make parts of the coastal town pretty treacherous.
They'll raise the elevation of Ferry Boulevard at the Broad Street intersection, and they'll also raise Broad Street itself. The bridge over Ferry Creek will also be replaced, and new tide gates will be installed. The area, located right near the Housatonic River, is known to flood during heavy rainstorms. The project is expected to be finished by October 2027. The $5.5 million comes from the state's Community Investment Fund and was approved by the State Bond Commission. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The GOP in Nassau County has selected a candidate to challenge Democratic Congresswoman Laura Gillen in the midterm elections. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports there are some questions regarding another possible candidate.
The Nassau Republican Committee selected former Valley Stream Mayor John DeGrace for the congressional seat last week. According to Newsday, some officials expected that Anthony D'Esposito, who was unseated by Gillen in 2024, would run again. D'Esposito was recently sworn in as the U.S. Labor Department's Inspector General. He would have to resign because candidates are prohibited from campaigning while holding a federal job. There are some questions about whether DeGrace could decline the nomination down the road, giving the party the opportunity to select someone else. D'Esposito has declined to say whether he'll run. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
A large offshore wind project off the coast of southern New England that faced legal challenges from the Trump administration is now officially up and running. The New England News Collaborative's Anya Pinello has more.
Revolution Wind was stopped by the Trump administration twice last year over national security concerns, but a federal judge ruled against the administration, and now the project is sending clean electricity to New England's power grid. Susan Muller is an energy analyst with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Offshore wind adds a lot of power at times when the power grid is the most stressed. So it's really good news. It's going to help protect everyone in New England from blackouts, especially in the winter.
Revolution Wind is expected to generate enough electricity to power 350,000 homes. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Onya Pinello.
Governor Lamont proposes replacing a home care access program with a waiver program. A conversation on that is coming up.
Classical music is alive. It's thriving because of contemporary artists responding to our evolving world. I'm classical music host Emily Boyer, and I'll connect you with today's top artists, plus music from the past that speaks to us now. Let art help you make sense of it all. Join me weekday mornings, streaming at WSHU.org and on the WSHU app, and on the radio at 91.1 FM and 107.5 FM.
The family of a Fairfield man killed by a falling tree limb is challenging the town's claim that the death was a, quote, act of God. His family says the town ignored warnings that the tree was decaying and dangerous. Fairfield officials say a thunderstorm caused the limb to fall and argue the town is protected by governmental immunity. A Newsday investigation found New York regulators have recently fined several Long Island nursing homes over patient care and safety. Inspectors cited facilities for issues including poor supervision and failing to properly care for residents. Some homes faced fines totaling tens of thousands of dollars. Geologists registered two small earthquakes in East Haddam, Connecticut's Mudus area over the weekend. It's an area well known for seismic activity, historically known in local lore as the Mudus Noises. Settlers thought they were supernatural in origin. Longtime Bridgeport Democratic Party boss Mario Testa kept his seat in a vote at the party's biannual meeting last week. Gone, though, is Vice Chair Wanda Jeter-Pataki. She faces nearly 100 charges around ballot fraud, and she did not run for re-election. A controversial multi-billion dollar water sale is back before Connecticut's top energy regulators. The issue? Whether Eversource can sell Aquarian, which supplies water to hundreds of thousands of people. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
Connecticut's regulatory body, PURA, rejected the deal in November, but they changed course last week and said they'd let Eversource sell Aquarian after a judge ordered them to reconsider. The sale would make the water company a quasi-public entity, could take it out from under regulatory purview, and could lead to higher rates. At a PURA hearing, State Attorney General William Tong criticized the commission for flip-flopping.
A decision which this authority makes with serious misgivings is by definition not in the public interest. How can you say that something is good for ratepayers? It's in our interest if you have serious problems with it.
He said it would be a breach of PURA's duty legally to approve the deal, given their previous rejection.
This is what you're saying. We, PURA, swore an oath to protect ratepayers. We are really worried about this deal, and we have the full power and authority to stop it, but we are going to make you pay for it anyway.
Attorney Dan Canavan represents Aquarian and the Regional Water Authority. He says regulators should approve the deal as is.
RWA and Aquarian are great companies. They provided safe and reliable service for decades, and they will continue to do so if the transaction is approved.
PURA is set to make its final decision on March 25th. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Governor Lamont has proposed ending Connecticut's Community First Choice program, which helps families access home care for people with disabilities, and replacing it with a waiver program instead. WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mayor's Katie Golvala to discuss her in-depth reporting on this. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Families of disabled state residents have been at the legislative office building protesting Governor Ned Lamont's proposal to replace Community First Choice, the state's home health care program. Is that what prompted you and your colleague Laura Tillman to look into this?
Yeah, absolutely. So families who participate in Community First Choice say that it is a way to keep their loved ones who the state has determined need a nursing home level of care in their homes. So these are people who require a nursing home level of care, but are able through this program to have that care happen at home instead. And they say that that benefits the participants and that they get to stay home with their families. And it also, they say, benefits the state because in general, home and community-based care is found to be more cost-effective than institutional care.
So why then is the Lamont administration proposing replacing this program?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this program is not capped, meaning anyone who qualifies for Medicaid and is in need of nursing home level care can choose to enroll in this program if they would like to. And the Lamont administration is saying, you know, we thought that through the structure of this program and some federal dollars we were able to get back from it, that it would save the state money. But actually, because enrollment has increased so rapidly, these costs are unsustainable for the state. So we need to replace it with a program that, like the other state programs for home and community-based care, caps the number of participants so that we can control the cost of this program and put those savings potentially into other home and community-based programs that the states have, that the state has, that right now might not be getting the resources they need.
Now let's talk about the budgeting here. 40% of the state's Medicaid budget goes to home health care?
So 40% of the state's Medicaid budget goes towards long-term care.
Okay.
Whether that is happening in an institutional setting or whether that is happening at home. So you can see why the Lamont administration would be trying to address the larger issue of long-term care, because it is such a big part of the Medicaid budget.
Now, the recipients are concerned that replacing this program will create lengthy wait lists to get home care. There are about 7,000 people who are served right now. What is the state saying as far as that's concerned?
So the state has been clear that people who are already in this program would get to retain the services that they currently receive. They do not want anyone under the impression that people who are currently getting care at home will be forced into an institutional setting. But this will create a wait list for future recipients of the program who might newly find themselves needing a nursing home level of care, who qualify for Medicaid, who might say, I would prefer to get that care at home. Whereas right now, those people would be able to make that decision and get that care at home. Under Lamont's proposal, they would have to go onto a wait list before they could actually get the care at home. And what advocates are saying is that, so while they're on that wait list, they would likely have no choice but to go into an institutional setting, unless they're one of the very rare lucky cases where perhaps the family and friends can cobble together a way to care for them. But again, these are people who need, you know, some of them need 40 hours of care a week. Some of them need 24/7 care. And so that is very difficult outside of an institutional setting for their families to make up.
Now, you give the example of Alexi and Laura Jordan, who receive personal care attendants in their homes. What do these personal care attendants do?
Yeah, so these personal care attendants help Alexi get dressed and ready in the morning. They help him with his communication. Laura even talked about they're able to think about what kind of activities Alexi wants to do and sort of structure the personal care attendant's time around those activities. So he really enjoys bowling, for example, and art. And so they're able to have those personal care attendants focus on those activities with him.
Laura also had this quote that she said, it's unbelievably cruel, the policy that the proposal that the Lamont administration has come up with. And the feeling is that the state can afford this because we're such a wealthy state. So where do we go from here? What's the situation right now? Is this a done deal? What are lawmakers talking about doing with this?
Advocates fear that state officials are talking as if it is a done deal. It is not yet. You know, it is in the governor's proposed budget, which will have to be voted on. And there are, I think, legislators who are taking advocates' concerns extremely seriously. We saw Commissioner Andrea Barton Reeves testify in the Appropriations Committee, and several of the legislators in that committee pushed back a bit and asked her, you know, we know how important home care is to people. And they had heard from several very concerned constituents about the governor's proposal. So I think advocates are going to continue to fight, and we will have to wait and see where things end up.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you.
Katie Galvala is the Connecticut Mirror's health reporter. I'm Ebong Udama.
For the news you trust and music you love, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.